Okay, we're in the middle of Likutei Moran Tanina, Torah Ches, and we're in the middle of the paragraph, Ois Ches, paragraph Ches, we're in the middle of the paragraph that says, Avol Be'emes Tzrichen Lechapes, and our Likutei Moran, it's page 39, the left-hand column, about midway down the page, the line, literally about halfway down that column, the line where the last word on the line is the word Vizeh, Vizeh Bechina Zeh Masanochosh, that's what we're up to. We'll give a 1 minute summary just of the topics that we covered till now, just major topics, because tonight we're going to bring a lot of those topics together. We're going to weave them again together. We started off talking about the topic of Teichacha, giving reprimand to a person, how if it's done improperly, Chas v'Shalom, it could cause tremendous damage, whereas a tzaddik is one who knows how to give the proper Teichacha. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews worship the golden calf, the Egel Azov, the Pasuk says about that, Nirdi Nosan Rechai, that from the Nirdi, from the Yerida, from their sin, he was able to bring forth a good aroma, a good smell. So the Gemara says, Nirdi Nosan Rechai? It should have said, Nirdi Osaf Rechai, that their sin caused the good smell, the good aroma to leave. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was so smart, so genius, that when the Yidden did something wrong, he was able to reprimand them in such a way that not only was he able to fix up what they did wrong, but he used that as leverage, as a springboard, to raise them up much, much higher than they were before they had committed the sin. That's how powerful his Teichacha was. That's how sweet his Teichacha was, that it was well received by the people. Plus, it was able to influence them so powerfully to become much greater than they were before they had committed the sin. And Rabbein Zal compares this to the power of Gan Eden, the fact that it says by Gan Eden is Kelech Shomati Bagon Voira, the special voice of Hashem that Adam Arishain heard right after he committed the Begam Aliyei Tzadas, and Hashem called out to him. Rabbein Zal makes reference to that. And Rabbein Zal says that this Kelech the Mechiach is referred to, there's a pasuk that says, Horeim Kashayfar Koylech, that the pasuk addresses the tzaddikim, those who are worthy of reprimanding the Jews, and it says, lift up your voice like the blast, like the trumpet of a shofar, like the blast of a shofar, because the pasuk says about a shofar that one of the main purposes of a shofar is to instill fear into the people, to wake the people up. This concept of reprimanding a person to make him afraid of what he did wrong and to wake him up to doing the right thing. Rabbein Zal brings that the word kashofar is also the letters of the word kashofar, chof, shin, pei, resh, make up the first letters of poshut, Kafel Shilosh Ribua. This is a term that's used in the Sifrei Kabbalah, talking about the Shir Shelo Osid Lavoi. We mention in many psukim in Tehillim, it's written, V'noid Lachono Shir Chodosh Halaluka, that in the future there's going to be a new type of song that's going to be played. And the Mefarshim explain that that's a song that's going to be played on a harp of 72 strings. What does that refer to? Why 72? Why not 75? Why not 100? The answer is this is symbolic. The 72 is Begimatria Chesed. This refers to a tremendously high level of kindness that Hashem is going to shine down to the world in the future. The Pasuk says, Olam Chesed Yibone, that the world is going to be rebuilt with Chesed. This Chesed is made up of this single, double, triple, quadruple stranding of a string. Because we find in Hashem's most basic name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, when we construct it in such a manner where we single it, then we double it, then we triple it, then we quadruple it, meaning we first take the first letter, Yud, then we take the first two letters, we add to that Yud Hey, plus we add to that Yud Hey Vav, three letters, plus we add to that Yud Hey Vav Hey, the total gematria there is 72. Yud is 10, Yud Hey is 15, Yud Hey Vav is 21, and the Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. That sum total gives us 72. And this is what the Sifrei Kabbalah says refer to by this song that the Torah says is going to be played on this harp, where the strings are going to be singled and doubled and tripled and quadrupled. This refers to this Midas HaChesed, this one who's able to give Teichacha in a manner to be able to bring forth a Chesed, just as the Gemara says in Erchin, that a person who is Zeicha to give Teichacha the right way, Meishchen Olav Chut Shel Chesed, Hashem shines down on that person a strand of Chesed, a strand of kindness. Then Rabbein Zal spoke about how a person could be zeichet to have this pure voice so that when he reprimands somebody, it should be the right way. Rabbein Zal said that the key to it is tefillah. Because what we're implying here is that the person has to be able to reprimand with kindness. And we know that the key to kindness is tefillah. Just as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Al ta'as tefilascha keva, don't make your tefillah habitual, ela rachmim v'tachnunim. Try to present your tefillah to Hashem in a way where you're begging Hashem, you're begging for kindness. So we see that the whole concept of tefillah is a concept of trying to bring forth this kindness. So Rabbi Nezal says that the key to be zeichet, to draw this chesed, whereby you know how to give teichacha the right way, the key is through tefillah. And Rabbi Nezal said that tefillah is toluy in das. Rabbi Nezal gave a whole explanation showing how the three tefillahs that we daven every day, shachris, mincha, and mariv, correspond to the three parts of the brain, chachma, bina, and das. And according to how much in order a person's brain is, that's how qualified that person is to be able to know how to daven to Hashem. Then Rabbi Nezal said that there are certain situations, although normally when a person davens to Hashem, the tefillah is supposed to be in a manner of begging for kindness. The tefillah is supposed to be sweet and soft, never trying to be pushy with Hashem, but always in a soft manner, begging, trying to invoke Hashem's kindness. Rabbi Nezal says there are times when a person is required to daven a tefillah bebechinas din, a tefillah that's presented to Hashem in a form of harshness. As Pinchas, the Torah says that when Pinchas saw Zimri ben Soloi in this week's parsha committing adultery in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and insulting Moshe Rabbeinu thereby, because saying, "Ha ha, you married a goy. What's wrong with me marrying a goy?" When Pinchas saw this, the pasuk says, "Vayamoid Pinchas vayipalel." Pinchas stood up, and the Gemara says, "Vayipalel also plilim im koinoi." He davened in a very blasting way to Hashem, that he was blasting in a sense Hashem, begging, screaming to Hashem for Hashem to give him the immediate strength that he needed to be able to kill these two, Zimri ben Soli and Kozbi Basur, which he was zeicha to do, and thereby defend the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, the code of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Nezal says, we see there is this concept of a tefillah bebechinas din. And Rabbi Nezal says that whenever a person davens this tefillah bebechinas din, we know that din, harshness, is something that the satan is able to latch onto. Just like when a person falls into kas, chas v'sholem, the Gemara says those are things that give the satan strength. So too, whenever there's anything that's in the form of midas hadin, gvura, harshness, it's something that the satan is able to latch onto and swallow up at times. So Rabbi Nezal says that when a Jew presents this type of tefillah b'bechinas din, what happens is that the satan grabs it immediately and attempts to swallow it. However, what happens is, because if this tefillah is presented by a great enough tzaddik, what happens is that the tefillah becomes lodged in the satan's throat, and Rabbi Nezal brings proof to this from Psukim, that this is actually what happens, Chel Bola Vayikienu. The pasuk says that the satan at times swallows up whole armies of Kedusha, but in the end he's forced to give it up, to relinquish it, to throw it up. How? Because this tefillah becomes lodged in his throat, and causes the satan to throw up. And when he throws up, not only does he throw up the kedusha that he has swallowed up, all the different neshamos of Yidden who committed sins and thereby gave strength to the satan, but when a person throws up in a severe enough manner, sometimes he feels like his insides are coming out. The pasuk says, so too by the satan, when he throws up, at times it causes his actual insides to come up, in the form of Gerim, converts. This is how we have a concept of Gerim coming close to the Kedusha. How is it conceivable to be able to draw out from the realm, from the throes of the Satan, to be able to draw out souls that belong to him, actual Goyim, and bring them into the Kedusha? It's done via this process of being able to present this type of tefillah, bebechinas din, which the satan is attracted to, he swallows it up, it becomes lodged in his throat, it causes him to throw up that tefillah, plus any sparks of kedusha that he had swallowed up, plus, besides that, at times it causes him to throw up his etzem chiyus, which means part of himself, which means these converts. And Rabbi Nezal explained that this causes a tremendous hisgalus hakovoid of Hashem. Just as when Yisrael came close to the Jews, this made a tremendous splash in heaven. When one, as the pasuk says, Havu l'Hashem mishpachos amim, kovul Hashem kovoy voiz, that when the mishpachay samim, when the families of the nations of the goyim, when they become close to kedusha, this gives Hashem tremendous kovoid and oiz. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when there is this revelation of kovoid of Hashem, this results in a hispashtus hanavuah. This results in a spreading of prophecy, because kovoid and prophecy go together. Because we find in the Gemara, which three people are the ones who are most mesugal for prophecy? An Oshir, a Chacham, and a Gibor. And all three, Rabbeinu Zal showed their association with Kavoid. Kavoid Chachamim in Cholu, so Chacham is a Bechinas Kavoid. Gibor, Hashem, the Pasuk says, V'yavoi Melech HaKavoid, Hashem Izuz V'Gibor. Hashem was a Gibor, he's the Melech HaKavoid. And Oshir, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. The Gemara says, Kavoid goes to an Oshir. So Rabbeinu Zal says that when there is this revelation of Kavoid, it causes a flow of Nevuah. And Rabbeinu Zal explained how that affects the whole concept of refuah. We had that whole shiur last week, how that presents a refuah to Bnei Israel, the tefillos and the karbonos, all of those things. And then Rabbeinu Zal said finally that when there is this hispashtus hanavuah, it causes a tikkun for the emunah. Because emunah is something in which you only believe in that which you don't understand, that which you don't know, that which you have to be able to imagine. And so too this concept of nevuah is a concept of an imagination, a pure imaginative power, where the person, in other words, nevuah is not tangible, it's not something you can touch, it's a vision, it's something imaginary, but yet extremely valid. It's the highest level of purification of that which is imaginary. Rabbeinu Zal says, so too, when a person is zeicha to become neskarev to a Rebbe who has this bechina of nevuah, this concept of nevuah, or whatever extent of that is available in this generation, because Rabbeinu Zal says that in every generation, even though there isn't actual nevuah or ruach hakodesh, anyone who is a leader of a community of Jews must have at least a certain aspect of ruach hakodesh, or a certain aspect of nevuah that causes him to be special in the sense that he's worthy of becoming a leader, and therefore all those who are zeicha to become to neskarev, to a leader who possesses any degree of this ruach hakodesh and nevuah, it benefits their emunah very, very much. That helps him be able to shine into them a very pure emunah, because the nevuah and emunah go together. They're both dependent on this purification of the imaginative power, not to misuse the imagination, not koyach hamedame, false dreams, fake dreams, or those things, but a real pure level of imagination, by which a person can imagine the existence of Hashem, although he doesn't see it, and by a person can actually imagine and see Hashem communicate him in the form of nevuah. This is where we had left off last week. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas zayamas hanochosh." This concept of a wrong type of imagination, where a person has this koyach hamedame, where his brain is confused and he doesn't see things clearly the right way, this is a concept of the filth of the snake. Rabbeinu Zal explains, ki iruv ubilbul hamedame shema'arev umevalvel be'emunos kuzvius. This concept of the confusion that's caused by this koyach hamedame, which is a nickname for the satan. If you recall, we learned in an earlier chapter on the Kutimaran that Rabbeinu Zal once said that we have to give this satan a nickname. And if we want to use an appropriate nickname for the satan, one of the best terms to use is koyach hamedame, meaning, what's the whole power of the satan? He's able to make that which should look bitter to us very appetizing, and he's able to make that which should look extremely appetizing to us very bitter. Torah, mitzvahs, kedusha, that item which can benefit us most and which should be the sweetest thing to us, derocheho darchei noyam, the pasuk says, that the Torah is very sweet, the satan makes that very unappealing, and certain items which lead to a bitterness, they lead to gehenem rachmona litzlan, or yisurim, or suffering sins, the satan is able to make that very attractive. So a nickname that we use for the satan is this koyach hamedame. So Rabbeinu Zal says now, this iruv ubilbul hamedame, this confusion, Shema Arev Umevalvel Bemunais Kuzvius, whereby the Satan confuses a person with all types of false beliefs, where the person believes in the wrong things or in nonsense, Zebechinas Zuamas Hanochosh. This is the concept of the filth of the snake, the Nochash HaKadmoni, the original snake who caused Adam Adam and Chava to commit the sin. Ki kol ha-menachashim v'ha-koismin, because all types of magicians, magic is also called nichush, hilchas mo'enein u'menachesh. The chapter in Shulchan Aruch that deals with the laws of magic or magicians, those things, is called nichush, milosh nochush. Rabbi Nazar says now, all of these magicians, their whole power is based on an imaginative power that's not pure. In other words, it's sleight of hand tricks. They're able to cause an illusion, an optical illusion at times, or fool people into thinking that they were able to pull a rabbit out of a hat where they didn't actually do that. That type of thing. These magicians are able to confuse a person with these false beliefs, in other words, believing in silliness, nonsense. People begin to actually think that there could be such a thing. Shehem zoyamas hanochosh. This actually originates from the filth of the snake. The alkane, and just as what was the snake's whole trick? Again, imagination. He was able to play on Chava's imagination. Because the Gemara tells us, the Chumash says, that what did Hashem command Chava? Don't eat from the tree. The Nochash started painting for her a picture. He started saying to her, if this tree is so bad, if Hashem said this thing is so bad and everything, then probably if you touch this, who knows what could happen to you. And, you know, he started playing it up to her. In other words, first he presented himself as though he was really on Hashem's, wow, this thing must be terrible and everything. Then he made believe accidentally, like he pushed her into the tree. She bumped into the tree and he made believe like, oh, look, nothing happened to you. So in other words, Hashem said don't eat from it and don't touch it. In other words, he played up on our imagination. Hashem never said not to touch it, but he presented it. He caused her imagination to swoon a little bit and to dramatize the whole thing to her, like, wow. Then when she saw she touched it, nothing happened. He told her, he said, who knows, maybe the whole thing's a hoax. Maybe if you eat it, you'll become smart. Could be. The only reason why Hashem told you to stay away from this is because what gave Hashem his brains was that he ate from this tree, and this is what gave him the wisdom to create everything. Could be Hashem is afraid that if you'll eat from this tree, v'hi'isam kelekim, you'll be like Hashem, yodei toivora. This is what he said. So we see, therefore, that any emunos kuzvius, any false beliefs, or any illusions, or any wrong type of imagination that exists in this world now, originates from this play on the imagination of the nochosh, the snake, in the beginning of time. The alkane, and therefore, just as we said before, that what's the tikkun of this imagination? Nevuah. We quoted the pasuk ubiyad hanavim adame, that the tikkun for the adame is in the hands of nevuah. And we said that there are 10 levels of nevuah. The Medrash says that there are 10 levels of nevuah which correspond to the Aseres Hadibrois, because the pasuk says ponim beponim diber Hashem imochem, that just as prophecy is a form of Hashem speaking to an individual face to face, so too the Ten Commandments were an occasion where Hashem spoke to the Yidden face to face. So in actuality, we could refer to Matan Torah, where Hashem gave the Yidden the Aseres Hadibrois, as a major time of Nevuah, where Hashem presented himself, where in a sense all the Yidden became prophets for that moment. Rabbi Nazal says, the Alkane, and therefore Yisrael shamdu al Har Sinai, the Yidden who stood on Har Sinai, Posko Zuamoson. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that it was at that point that the filth which the snake had injected into Chava, that's when it subsided completely. It left the Yidden completely. The final effects of the Pigam of the Eitz Hadas were removed completely from the Yidden when they stood at Har Sinai. Why? Kishom zochu kulam lenevua al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu rabon shel kol hanaviim shehoyomanig amiti shelahem. Because it was there on Har Sinai that all of the Jewish people was zeichet to nevua, to this power of prophecy through Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the rabon shel kol hanaviim, the rabbi of all prophets, shehoyomanig hamiti shelahem. He was their true leader. And because he possessed this superpower of nevua, he was able to give of it to the other people in his generation. He was able to allow them, afford them the opportunity to be able to see Hashem to the extent where the Medrash says, Roh Neshifchaso Alayom Ashalayro Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Yecheskel was one of the greatest prophets a prophet. The Torah says that a Shifcha Layam was able to see more than him. So we see that that's the term that the Gemara is using, that all the Jews then were prophets. They were able to see Hashem as a prophet sees Hashem. V'ayidezeh, and through that, Nizbarer v'nistakin hamedameh etzlam, their koyach hamedameh became completely pure, was purified. V'zochu le'emuna shlema b'Hashem, and the Yidden was zeich at that time to achieve 100% faith in Hashem, as the Pasuk says, v'yaminu b'Hashem u'v'may shavtai. That was all around the time of Matan Torah and Har Sinai. V'alkein posko zu'amoson zu'amas hanocho she'emuna iskusius. That's why the Gemara tells us that it was specifically on Har Sinai that this zu'amo, this filth which the Satan had injected, the Nochosh had injected into Chava, was removed completely at Har Sinai. Because the Yidden was zeichet to shleimus ho'emuno ha'yishara, to have a pure, smooth faith in Hashem, al yidei birur hamedame, through this birur hamedame, through this fixing up of the medame, shezochu al yidei ruach nevuah kanal, which they were zeichet to through this spirit of nevuah, because we said before, biyad hanavim adame, that the tikkun for the koyach hamedame is this koyach hanevuah. Now note the word that Rabbeinu Zal used here, this eruv, this mixture, this is what, in other words, this bilbul, this confusion that the satan causes in causing a person to believe in the wrong thing and good and bad, this whole mess, this is the satan versus emuna, which is this non-mixed, it's kulay toiv, it's this complete goodness. And Rabbeinu Zal says that this dates back to the pegam of the Eitz Hadas, which was toiv or ra. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain that this concept of toiv and ra mixed together is a concept of chesed and gevura. You'll note here the implication here in this Torah is that when you have gevura, harshness, that's a bad item. That's something that the Satan is able to draw from. Whereas when you have chesed, that's a good item. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that this Eitz Hadas, which was toiv or ra, it was good and bad mixed together, it was an eruv, it was a mixture. The word eruv in Hebrew, which means mixture, eruv means la'ariv, means to mix, or to confuse, la'arveh v'sasoton, to confuse the soton. The word eruv, ayin yud resh vov beis, is actually a combination of chesed and gevura, because the ayin beis of the word eruv is begematria chesed. The remaining letters, Reish Yud Vav, 216, is Begematria Gevura. So we see that this word Eruv itself means this Toiv Ora, this good and bad, which dates back, when was the first time that you had this confusion? At the Pegam of the Eitz Hadas, where Hashem created two trees in Gan Eden. One was an Eitz HaChayim, which was Kulei Toiv. One was an Eitz Hadas, Toiv Ora, which had this good and bad mixed together. It was from that this confusion originated, which is the opposite of the emuno hayishara, the smooth emuna. And it was only at Har Sinai where the emuna achieved a tikkun again through the purity of nevuah that the Yidden had at that time. The emuna received a tikkun. That was why this zuhamo, this original filth that the Gemara says the snake injected into Chava, it was removed completely at Har Sinai, at Matan Torah. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, this is the significance of the letter Hey on the sixth day, where the Pasuk talks about the sixth day of creation. Note, the first day it says Yom Echad. The second day it says Yom Sheni. The third day Yom Shlishi. Vayera Vayvaker Yom Shlishi. The sixth day it says Vayera Vayvaker Yom Hashishi. And the Gemara says, "Kama shekosav vayera vayvaker yom hashishi v'darshu azal." The Gemara says in Shabbos, "Shekol ha'olam hayatolui at shishi b'sivon." What's the significance of the fact that when the Torah discusses creation of the world on the sixth day, which was the final day of work, the pasuk says yom hashishi? The Gemara says this comes to teach us that the actual creation of the world was not culminated on the sixth day, meaning on Rosh Hashanah, which is when Adam Arishon was created. Because the world, the physical world, was actually created on Chaf Hei Elul, the 25th day of Elul. The sixth day of creation, which is the day that Adam Arishon was created on, that was actually the first day of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. That's why we say, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Maasecha. This day is the first day of creation, Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day. Is that the day that the world was completed? The answer is no, the Gemara says. When it says Yom HaShishi, it refers to the sixth day, the special sixth day that would happen in the future, which is the sixth day of the month of Sivan, 2,448 years later, when Hashem would give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael on Har Sinai. That's what the Hey of HaShishi stands for, because that's called a Hey Hayediyah, referring to Das, referring to the Torah, Atore Solodas. So the Gemara says, Shekol Hoylam Hoyotolui at Shishi B'Sivon. The whole world was sort of hanging in the balance until the sixth day of Sivan. Hashem wasn't really positive that he wanted to finalize the creation of the world. Shekiblu Yisrael as HaTorah. It was on that day that the Jews received the Torah, and that's when Hashem substantiated the creation of the world. Hashem solidified it completely. Rabbi Nazar explains now why. What's the association between Matan Torah and the Chiddush HaOlam, the creation of the world? Rabbi Nazar says, Ki Iker Chiddush HaOlam, the main concept of Hashem creating the world anew, Dahaino, meaning, Leida Shehoilam Mechudosh, the main concept of the Jews being Zeichet to have pure faith in Hashem, in knowing that this world was created by Hashem brand new. Brand new means it's not RB, it's not rebuilt, it's not something from something, it's Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing, that Hashem was actually capable of creating a Dover Chodosh Legamri, something brand new, something that never existed before in any shape or form whatsoever, something from nothing. This whole concept, Hashem Yisbarach Bore Solam Kiritzainoi, and Hashem created the world completely as He decided to, as He wanted to, Hu Tolui Be'emunah. Now this understanding is dependent on faith. Because if a human being would ever want to try to understand the concept of Chiddush HaOlam, the concept of Hashem being able to create something from nothing, Rabbi Nazar says, through Seichel, it's impossible to be able to understand Chiddush HaOlam. V'alkein, and that's why we find that ha'apikursim kleifrim poseh, those people who are non-believers, they don't believe in Hashem, no matter how much intellect they have, they don't believe in the concept of Chiddush HaOlam. Why? Machmas sheyef shalohavin zeis b'seichel. Because this is a concept which is not comprehensible by the human mind. The human mind is not capable of understanding it. Ki ikar Chiddush HaOlam hu rak al yedei emunah. The main concept of Chiddush HaOlam is something that depends on a Jew's faith. He could only believe it. There's no way in the world that our minds are capable of really understanding how it's physically possible, how it's conceivable to create something from nothing. Rabbi Nazar says, Ki onu ma'aminim b'Hashem, we believe in Hashem, shehu yisporach bores olam echodosh, that Hashem created the world completely new, from scratch. Ki be'emes, because in truth, Rabbi Nazar says, Chiddush HaOlam hu al yedei b'chinas emunah. This whole concept of Hashem creating the world anew is dependent on emunah. K'may shekosev, as the Pasuk says, V'chol ma'aseihu be'emunah. All of Hashem's actions are through faith, meaning the concept of being able to understand all of Hashem's actions, the greatest of which, the epitome of which, is the epitome of which is creating something from nothing. That concept is dependent on emunah, faith. Nimtza, what do we see from this? She'ikar Chiddush HaOlam toli be'emunah. That the whole concept of Hashem creating the world anew, that whole concept is dependent on the faith of Bnei Yisrael. The Alkain, and therefore, now we understand what the Gemara says. When the Gemara says that Hashem created the world, but the world, the creation of the world, wasn't really completed until Shishi B'Sivan. What was missing? What was missing from completing this process? What was missing was the Shleimus HaEmunah. Because we said that the whole concept of Chiddush HaOlam is totally in Emunah. It was only when the Jews received the Torah on Har Sinai, there they were zeichet to Shleimus HaEmunah, as the Pasuk says, Kol mitzvah secho emunah. That was when they accepted all the mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, which are emunah. That's when the creation of the world, the Chiddush HaOlam, was complete. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'al kein, therefore, hoyo ha'olam tolui ad kabbalas ha'Torah. The world was sort of hanging in the balance until kabbalas ha'Torah. Ki oz zochu le'emuna shleima. That was when the Jews were zeicher to complete faith. Al yidei ruach nevua kanal. We said that the tikkun ha'emuna comes through the ruach nevua, and it was at Har Sinai that the whole Jewish nation achieved a spectacular level of nevua. V'al kein, therefore, oz daiko nizgale chidish ha'olam." That's why we say that specifically on Shishi B'Sivan, that's when it was revealed, the finality, the conclusion of Maisa Bereshis, of this Chidush Ha'olam. Ki ikar Chidush Ha'olam, toli be'emuna kanal. Because just as to be able to understand Chidush Ha'olam is not possible, we can only understand it through emuna, Rabbi Nizal says the actual process of Hashem bringing about a Chidush Ha'olam is also dependent on emuna. Therefore, it wasn't until Hashem went ahead and created a Jewish nation, and this Jewish nation was zeichet to be elevated to a super high level of emuna, that's when we classify the creation of the world as having been complete. It wasn't complete till then. Period. Next. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'al yidei emuna, just as the creation of the world up until now was totally in emuna, we said that the Chiddush Ha'olam, the whole concept of Chiddush Ha'olam was totally in emuna, Rabbi Nizal says so too, the next time that there's going to be a Chiddush Ha'olam, it's also going to depend on the emuna of Bnei Yisrael. V'al yidei emuna yihyeh Chiddush Ha'olam la'osid. The whole concept of Chiddush Ha'olam in the future is also going to be dependent upon emuna. Why? Rabbi Nizal explains, ki hiskaptus hachasodim she'al yodom yihyeh Chiddush Ha'olam. The whole concept of Hashem gathering up enough kindness to actually go ahead and create the world brand new and improved, much, much better than what it is now, lahavdil, a real spectacular world, as we're going to explain soon, the whole concept of Hashem being able to gather up enough chesed to be able to do that is totally, Rabbi Nizal says, b'b'chinas ki omarti oylom chesed yibone, as the pasuk says, that Hashem says that the future world is going to be built with chesed, with kindness. The gathering up of enough kindness to be able to do that is dependent on hu al yidei emuna, is dependent on emuna, faith. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, lahagid baboiker chazdecho ve'emunascha balelos. We speak of Hashem's kindness in the mornings and our faith in Him at night. So we see that chesed and emuna go together. That it's when the emuna will be at a very high level, at its highest level, that's what allows Hashem to be able to gather enough, this maximum quantity of chesed that's needed to bring about a new Chiddush Ha'olam. Rabbi Nizal says, "Emunas chabalilois zebechinas hoemuna shehu tluya bekoyach hamedame shehu bechinas laila." The fact that the pasuk says the emuna at night. What's the association between emuna at night? Night is a concept of darkness. Darkness means a lack of understanding. When a person understands something, we say it's clear to him, it's as clear as day. When we don't understand something, it's a concept of choshech, night. Rabbi Nizal says, "Emunos chabaleiloi zebechinas ho'emuno shehitluya b'koyach hamedamesh u'bechinas laila." The concept of emuno is something that's dependent on the koyach hamedamesh. It's dependent on a purification of this imaginative power, which is a concept of night. Bechinas chaloim lailo shebo al yidei hamedame. It's at night specifically that a person's imagination works to the highest level, and that's the whole concept of dreams, which generally only take place when a person is sleeping. His eyes are closed, which is a concept of night. Even if a person lays down during the day, the closing of the eyes is a concept of darkness, a concept of night. That's when this chaloim comes, the dream, which is a concept of medame, imagination. A person imagines he's over here, he imagines he's doing this. Therefore, the emuna is totally in Laila. Because we said emuna is something also which you can't understand. It's something which you have to be able to imagine. Rabbi Nizal says, when the emuna is bishleimus, that's when we'll be zeicher haynu b'chinas chesed hanal shal yodo yiyeh chiddush ha'olam losid. That's what generates enough kindness that Hashem is able to build up enough kindness to be able to go ahead with a chiddush ha'olam, with creating a new world, the new world that we're going to have in the future. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what's meant by the pasuk in Eicha, where the pasuk says, chadoshim labikorim rabo emunasecho. Rabbein Zal explains, rabo emunasecho hainu emuna. Rabo emunasecho means a maximum faith, the maximum quantity of faith. That will affect a chidush, a renewal, something being created anew. This concept of a new world being created, morning, a new day, a new sun on the horizon. Which is this concept of Hashem bringing forth this new chesed. So that here we see Rabbein Zal saying that the main ingredient that we the Jews have to be able to provide in order to be able to affect Hashem's being able to gather up enough chesed to go ahead and bring about the coming of Moshiach and the rebuilding of the new world, the main thing that we need is emunah. As the pasuk says, Tovoi toshuri meirosh amona. Hashem says, you will come to see me, meaning when Moshiach comes, Ki mola horas deis Hashem, when is that going to come? Meirosh amona, through a heightening of emunah. The Gemara says that the whole churban beis hamikdash, the destruction of the city, the Gemara says, Leichorva Yerushalayim, ad sheposko mimeno anshei amona. It wasn't until people stopped having faith, until there weren't any more people living in the city of Yerushalayim who were faithful to Hashem, that was when Hashem destroyed the city of Yerushalayim. And the whole concept of the rebuilding of the city of Yerushalayim, the coming of Moshiach, is totally in this tikkun ha'emuna. And it's when we are zeichet to affect a tikkun ha'emuna. Emuna represents the malchus, the lowest of the seven spheroids. Emuna affects the top of the seventh spheroids, which is the chesed. The chesed is toloi in the malchus. Rabbein Zal brings a pasuk we have in Torah Lamed in Likutei Maharis, where Rabbein Zal goes into tremendous detail showing the association between chesed and malchus. Rabbein Zal quotes the pasuk v'huchan b'chesed kisei, that the throne of Hashem will be prepared with chesed. Throne is an inyan of malchus, the association, the kesher between chesed and malchus. Chesed is the first of the seven lowest spheroids, Malchus is the bottom one. If we want to be zeichet, to be able to affect a tikkun for the chasodim, we have to start from Malchus, which is emunah, faith in Hashem.
How does the chesed fit in real terms? Like, I can literally say a person fixes the moon. Does chesed mean simply doing chesed?
No. Rabbein Zal here is talking about Hashem gathering up enough chesed. In other words, that's the wording here. Ki hiskaptus hachasodim, the gathering together of chesed. Sha'al yodom yeh chidush olam. In other words, this means in order for Hashem to be able to gather up enough chesed, to be able to bring about a chidush olam, is dependent on what? On our faith. The more we zeichet to build our emunah to a climax, the more we allow Hashem to be able to gather up enough chesed within Himself, kav yochel, to be able to bring about the chiddush olam. Because we said, lahagid babayker chazdecho ve'emunos chabalelos. Our part is the emunos chabalelos. That will affect Hashem increasing the chasodim and generating enough chesed to be able to bring about this chiddush olam.
Because like a lot of times you say that when you know there's action a certain way, lamata, so that arouses them.
Most definitely. In other words, here he's not talking about that. In other words, we say the Gemara, we mentioned once in the Mefarshim that it says in the first pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says not the first pasuk, the second pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha mi artzecha o mi mayladetcha o mi beis avicha el haoretz asher areka. Go from your house and everything to the land which I have told you to go to. The pasuk says over there that Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Ve'ezcho legoy godol, va'avorecheko, va'agadlo shemecho, ve'heye barocho. There are four lashonos. In that second pasuk in Lech Lecha, it says, Ve'ezcho legoy godol, va'avorecheko, va'agadlo shemecho, ve'heye barocho. So the Gemara darshins, Ve'ezcho legoy godol, zu Avraham. That refers to Avraham Avinu. Va'avorecheko, zu Yitzchok. That refers to Yitzchok Avinu. Va'agadlo shemecho, I will heighten your name. Which one of the others had two names? Zu Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov and Yisroel. Ve'heyei barocha, goes back to Avram Avinu. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? This refers to Shmoneh Esrei, that Hashem gave Avram Avinu a bracha, that the first blessing of Shmoneh Esrei, we're going to say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. But what's the end? Veheyei bracha. Which one do we make the bracha? When we complete the bracha, we don't say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Yaakov. We say Baruch Ato Hashem Mogen Avraham. In the end, we only end off with Avram Avinu. That's why when it says Veheyei Barucha, that refers to Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was given a bracha. So one of the Mefarshim brings that this refers to this Ve'ezcha L'goy Godo V'avarcheka V'agad L'shenecha refers to the three things. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, Al Shloisha Devorim Ho'ilam Kayom. The three things are Al HaToiro V'al HaVoido V'al HaGmilas Chasodim. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim. Which are the three? Gemilas Chesed is Avram Avinu. He was known for his Hachnosas Orachim, the kindness, the good deeds that he did. Which is Torah? Yaakov Avinu. He's the one who was known, he set up, Yehuda set up a yeshiva in Goshen. Yaakov Avinu was the one who studied for 14 years, day and night, in the yeshiva of Shem Wever. He's the main one who's known for Torah. Yitzchak Avinu is known as Avodah. Avodah means sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash. Yitzchak Avinu was the one who was actually put on the altar as a sacrifice before Hashem. So the Mefarshim bring note, all three are mentioned, but the Chasima, how do we end the bracha? Hashem said, B'cho chaysmin v'loi bohem. When we finish, the finish line is going to be Mogen Avraham, which is Chesed, which is Gemilas Chesed. So the Mefarshim point out that the finish line, that when the Jews are going to come to the finish line right before the coming of Mashiach, are we going to be big Balei Torah? Are we going to be big geniuses in Torah? No. We're nowhere near as smart as the earlier generations. Are we going to be big Tzadikim and Tefillah, ones who are able to daven with spectacular Kavon on this mat as much as the earlier Tzadikim? The answer is no way. So the Mefarshim bring that the Chasima, the final Geula, is going to be totally in Gemilas Chesed. That's why we finish off with Mogen Avraham, symbolizing that the finishing off for the Golus of Bnei Israel is going to be totally in Gemilas Chesed. Why? Obviously for this reason. Because what will arouse, we say that the building of the new world is dependent on Chesed. Hashem says, Ki amarti oilam Chesed yiboneh. What does it take to affect Hashem having Chesed? We have to show Chesed, Gemilas Chesed. That's one way of looking at it. Rabbi Nassal here in the Likutei Moran showed how Emunah also generates Chesed. That when the Yidna zeichet to a super high level of Emunah, that also affects Chesed. As the Pasuk says, Lahagid Bapriker Chazdecha, how? Through Ve'emunascha Balaylois. If we affect the Emunah Balayla in the midst of the Medame, where there's so much confusion and it's so hard to believe in Hashem, we're zeichet to strengthen our Emunah to believe in Hashem, that generates this Lahagid Bapriker Chazdecha. Again, because in the Spherois, we see how these two are on the two opposite poles of the seven lower Spherois. The Malchus, the Emunah on bottom, the Chesed on top. If you perfect this, automatically you're going to affect the Tikkun in this. Exactly, Vehem in Bashem, by Avram Avinu, who's known as this Isha Chesed, Vehem in Bashem, Ve'achshiveh lo Tztoko. What is Tztoko? Chesed. Tztoko is another word for kindness. Vehem in Bashem, he had Emunah, and Emunah is called Tztoko. Emunah is called Chesed. 100%.
So, what actually affects the Gula? It will be Gemilas Chesed and Bashem by people, or really Emunah?
Both. Both items. In other words, both items are written about the Gula. In other words, I quoted you one of the Mefarshim, one of the Gemaras that says that the Gula is totally in Gemilas Chasodim, as we find that the Chasima, the end of the Bracha, the beginning is Torah Avodah Gemilas Chesed, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. The end is only Avraham, meaning that in the end, meaning in the end of the world, when we get to Ikvus of the Mashiach, Ikvus means the foot, the feet, the sole of the foot, which means the end. When we get to the end of time, the main strength of the Jews, the main hope for the Jews, is going to be Gemilas Chesed, to be kind to each other. Just one second. So that's how we affect, through Gemilas Chesed, we affect bring about the coming of Mashiach. Rabbein Azal, the Gemara also says that the whole reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed was because of Pigam and Emunah, that as soon as the Jews are Zechet have true faith in Hashem, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. So here again, both items are true.
You say that the first Geula of Moshe Rabbeinu was a Geula of Torah, and
yes,
the Mashiach will be a Geula of Tefillah.
Yes, true. But even within that, in other words, even within that, if there's a choice between the two, what does the Pasuk say? Tzion b'mishpot tipode v'shoveho b'tztakah. That, in other words, true, between Torah and Tefillah, Tefillah is going to be, again, I'm showing you how the worse we get, we have to keep going to lower and lower levels, in a sense. In other words, Torah is the highest, Tefillah is next, Tzedakah is next, you know, if you picture it that way. The original Tzadikim, in other words, they were on the level of Torah. The next level is Tefillah. The lowest, in a sense, is where a person isn't even smart enough. He doesn't know how to learn. He doesn't even know how to speak to Hashem. He can give money. He can do somebody a favor. That's like the lowest form, in a sense, of religion. And yet, the Pasuk says, V'shaveh ha-bitztaka, that that's going to bring about the coming of Mashiach. So, in effect, all are true. In other words, at times, we favor different ones. But we can bring you proof to show that the Gula is totally in Tefillah, in Tzedakah, and even in Torah. No question. Otherwise, we would say, put away the Torah, Chas V'Shalom. Let's just run around and do Chesed. The answer is, all three are necessary. But at times, we're able to show in Pesukim that the Torah favors, it stresses one over the other. Excuse me? 100%. The key to Tefillah, how do you get your Tefillah to be successful? By giving Tzedakah. The Pasuk says, Va'ani b'tzedek ech zelokai. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, yohiv pruto v'hodar matzli. Rabbi Elazar would never daven without giving Tzedakah first. And the Shulchan Aruch brings that halacha. If a Jew goes to daven Shachris or any Tefillah, he should always try to set aside Tzedakah, because that's what pushes the Tefillah through. That's what really guarantees that it's going to be accepted by Hashem. Excuse me? Sure.
That, you know, maybe a Magic Sheker can bring 10 risks.
Right.
Could that, like, work even levels? Like, you know, you might read it and the first impression might be, like, someone who's, like, not even religious.
Right.
Could it also be, like someone who's religious but doesn't have, like, things?
Most definitely.
And, like, let's say, like, so many, like, different, whatever, would have mentioned names, let's say, for people who don't, you know, talk against Eretz Yisrael, even as, let's say, a big mitzvah and things like that, as, you know, a way, you know, with different things.
Most definitely. Meaning, for example, there's a pasuk, what is Emunah? What is Emunah? How do I really show Emunah in Hashem? We spoke about this many times in many different ways. Now let's work on one angle. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Kol mitzvaysecha emunah, that all the mitzvahs of Hashem are emunah, meaning that when can a Jew be classified as having real faith in Hashem? Only if he accepts all the mitzvahs. Just as if you have a husband and wife, and the husband says, I like this and this and this about her, but I don't like that. That's not considered 100% love, in a sense. In other words, when we talk about liking somebody 100%, it means liking everything about that person. Now, that's not always possible. So hopefully we go for majority, at least. If a person likes the majority of, about a person, then it's livable, then it's bearable. You can learn to accept those things that you like a little more, like a little less. When it comes to emunah in Hashem, when it comes to faith in Hashem, the Pasuk says, Kol mitzvaysecho emunah. We picture each one of the 613 mitzvahs and all their intricacies as being building blocks of something called emunah. The more of these that I accept, the more I build up my emunah to a certain level of shleimus. Any that are missing from this, any mitzvahs that I chas v'shalom reject, I don't accept, it shows a deficiency in my emunah. So if Rabbein Azal says here that according to how much of a level of ruach nevuah the manig ha'amiti has, he's able to bring about a purification of emunah by his makuravim, it means, in simple terms, he's able to affect their acceptance of the whole Torah, where those that are attached to him are zeichet to a shleimus emunah, a biur hamadama, to such an extent where by them there's no confusion, there's no mitzvah that they're not sure of. Everything is definite and decisive. They accept all the mitzvahs and they accept them all b'shleimus. Whereas, as we go to different levels of this, a manig who has a smaller level of this ruach nevuah, or a manig chas v'shalom who's a manig shel sheker, where he's a concept of a novi sheker, it's understood that he will lead his students to believe in the wrong things, to believe that the world was not created yesh me'ayin chas v'shalom, or to believe that Eretz Yisrael is not the most important place in the world now, that because you have the Zionist government there chas v'shalom, Eretz Yisrael has become tomei chas v'shalom, Eretz Yisrael has lost its holiness, which is the most ridiculous thing conceivable based on the Gemara and based on what we see in the Torah throughout, or all of these items where we find that there are leaders among Klal Yisrael, even at times, who lead their flock in a manner where the people actually reject mitzvahs. Well, let's say Kasha, a different kind of leader, where he's not that strict. In other words, he's not able to convey to his students or to his followers a strictness in kashrus, or a strictness in tzniyus, in going dressed properly, and the women covering their hair, or a strictness in tzitzis, or a mechitz and a shul, all the different parts of it. This is on every different level. In other words, on the side of Kiddusha, there's millions of levels of emunah, and lahavd on the side of tumah, again, there are billions of levels of emunah iskuzias, false faith. In other words, what we classify as emunah iskuzias. In other words, you can have the closest thing to the tzaddik emes compared to the tzaddik emes is a bechina of emunah iskuzias. It's a bechina of sheker. In other words, put it next to the highest level of truth, compared to that, it's a concept of falsehood. But everything is relative, depending on where it is on the totem pole.
This is like a Bengal's last era, he always said. Yeah. And I don't know, I guess he knew that somewhat.
Most definitely.
And yet, like, this is like so full of looking for Rebbe.
Right.
So how can so many quote unquote, you know, Breslovs or not, whatever, make a mistake to think that, you know, Breslov doesn't say to go in your door? Like, he says, you know, he's leaving the world, says go look for a Rebbe. Oh, there's no, you know.
The answer is, this is the amazing thing. How let's take Moshe, in other words, this is the biggest chiddush, the fact that when people choose to go against the tzaddik at times, those even his closest followers, what item do they go against him? The item that he stressed the most. Meaning, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, the one compliment that Hashem gave him in the entire Torah, Hashem didn't call him a genius, Hashem didn't call him a big Baal Tzedakah, Hashem called him one item. V'ho'ish Moshe, ono of ma'oid, mikol hod ma'ashal p'ni adama. Korach, whom the Gemara describes as a pikeach, he wasn't a dope, he wasn't an idiot, he was pikeach, he was very, very smart. He had to pick an item to insult Moshe Rabbeinu, to attack Moshe Rabbeinu, and to attack Aharon HaKohen. What did he pick? You're a bunch of Balei Gaiva. You want all the kavod for yourself and for your own family. It wasn't enough that you made yourselves the leaders of the Jews. Now you're taking a litzofon ben uzi, him also over me? What was the one item that he picked to knock? Gaiva. He called them Balei Gaiva. Why? Because the Gemara says, kol ha-paisel b'mumoy paisel. That generally, when a person makes fun of somebody else, usually what item will he pick to make fun of the other person? That which is lacking in himself. Because when a person is lacking in something, then wherever he looks, he sees that chisaron. In other words, that's what he sees. Just as the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was able to find good in any Jew in the world. Why? Because he himself was kulay toiv. It says when Basya Basparai found him in that little basket, the pasuk says vatera isay ki toivu. She saw that he was good. Because he was good, wherever he looked, he saw only good. And those people who, when they look at other people, they see bad in other people. It's a reflection on themselves. It's a reflection of the bad within themselves. So that here also, when it came to Korach, in other words, I'm giving a clear example, that I, here again, when it comes to Rabbeinu Zal, there wasn't a tzaddik in the history of the Jewish nation who stressed Emunas Chachamim as much as Rabbeinu Zal. If you look through this sefer from cover to cover, this is the item that he emphasizes most. The fact that we never dare say that once upon a time there was a Moshe Rabbeinu, once upon a time the Jews had a big leader, but nowadays we don't have any big leaders, so you don't have to attach yourself to any rabbi. Now the obligation is over. If there were a Moshe Rabbeinu in this nowadays, I could see myself walking miles to attend his shiurim and serving him, pouring water for him and standing up for him and this and that. But those days are over and forgotten, this and that. Rabbeinu Zal, throughout his forum, the main emphasis was Emunas Chachamim. Proof is that here again, the last words, his last shiur, when he saw he was about to pass away, he was sick for 3 years, he was coughing up pails of blood, what did he talk about? That the main important thing, most important mission for a Jew is to look for a Rebbe, to look for this Ruach Nevuah, meaning he was implying to his students that even after he's passing away now, when a rabbi passes away, what is it? His students just disband and they become nothing? Chas v'shalom. That happened once before in Jewish history, and that caused the biggest catastrophe conceivable. When the Jews thought that Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away, the Satan drew a picture in heaven. Again, Medame. He drew a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu lying on a deathbed when Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days from Shavuos to Shivasar B'Tammuz. That's this week, Tuesday, Shivasar B'Tammuz. And the Satan, they miscalculated. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu said he was going up for 40 days. They miscalculated by one day, and they saw it was getting late. They saw he didn't come, and then the Satan conjured up a vision for them of seeing Moshe Rabbeinu on a deathbed. What did they do? Moshe Rabbeinu died. What do you do? Oh, the answer is you start smoking funny cigarettes, you clown around, and everybody makes merry, dance around the golden calf and play. Moshe Rabbeinu left. There's no more leader. What should they have done, the Gemara says? What was the most logical thing to do? This rabbi is gone, pick the next one who's the greatest person alive and attach yourself to him. Otherwise, you're lost, chas v'shalom. The Jews, without a leader, it's like a ship without a captain, no question. In other words, this is a fact that Hashem presented the first mission in Perkei Avos. Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai, u'mesorah li-Yoshua, v'Yoshua l'Zakenim, that this religion is not a religion based on ear, which it's where every person is an independent agent trying to come close to Hashem. No way, no way. Every person needs a Rebbe. That's the whole concept of marriage, where you have a husband and wife. The husband takes over the position of being the rabbi within the family in that sense. The Medrash says, what did Chava call Adam HaRishon? She didn't call him Adam, she called him Rebbe. The Gemara says, why? Because a husband is a concept of a Rebbe to the wife. The husband, if he's on a level to be a Rebbe to teach, then he's a Rebbe. Otherwise, at most, what's the highest level that a Jew can achieve? Not Chacham, Talmud Chacham. Every Jew is Talmud, who strives to be Talmud Chacham, meaning he has a rabbi over himself. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was his Rebbe? He was the one person who was zeicha that his Rebbe was Hashem himself. Hashem taught him Torah, the Gemara says, because he was Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. But everybody else, the Rebbe leaves. What's the next? Look for the next Rebbe, no question. Single out. And again, how do we do this? It's not if he's 6 years old. If the Rebbe left behind a son who's 6 years old and he says, ga ga gu gu, we don't assume that that's mystical Kabbalism and stuff and we stick to him. It means, just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah wasn't passed over in heritage. It wasn't his sons who took over necessarily. If his sons weren't the greatest rabbis alive at that time, who took over? Yehoshua. Yehoshua passed away. Who took over? Again, the leaders after him. So too in every generation. Rab Nosanzal, before his histalkus, what was the last Torah he spoke about? Torah Samach Aleph in Likutei Moran, which again deals with Emunas Chachomim. The whole topics that are being emphasized, the last two Rosh Hashanahs of Rabbi Nosanzal's life, the thing he spoke about most was Emunas Chachomim. So that if people conjure up a vision that Breslov is the one Hasidus without a Rabbi, Chas V'Shalom, no way, that was never acceptable. Meaning we say that Rabbi Nosanzal was our original Rebbe and the main Rebbe. And in other words, and never in a generation afterwards, Rabbi Nosanzal said very clearly that Chiddush Kamoini Lo Yehiyeh Ad Bias Moshiach. Rabbi Nosanzal said that a Chiddush like himself, a leader as great as himself, Rabbi Nosanzal said there will not be another one until Moshiach's coming. And if he said it, it means he knew. He wouldn't have lied. He wouldn't make a silly statement like that without knowing what was going to take place. The Gemara says, Ezel Chacham Horoyes Hanoilad, that the definition of Chacham in the Torah is one who can see ahead in the future. So these Talmidei Chachamim was zeicha to be so learned in Torah, of course they're given a power to see ahead, to see into the future. So in other words, we say that we never accept a Rebbe upon ourselves who could chas v'shalom in any way be equal to Rabbi Nosanzal. But in every generation, Rabbi Nosanzal students more than anybody else have to assume that there is a leading rabbi and to attach themselves to him in every sense of the word, no question. And that's the point that's being stressed here. And in Likutei Halachos, it's stressed 50 times more than here. In other words, it's brought out much more clearer, where there's nothing left to the imagination. And what about all of these people that say differently? The answer is, V'loi am ho'oretz chosid. It means that they simply didn't learn, or they didn't learn well enough. Because the Gemara says that the Zois HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael Asher Sam, the Gemara says that the Torah could be a Sam Chai or a Sam Moves. That depending on if a person is Zeiche, he learns the Torah and the Torah guides him on a proper path. If a person is not Zeiche, he's able to bring proof from the Torah against Hashem, against the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And that's where tefillah comes in, that's where tzedakah comes in. A person has to daven to Hashem a lot that they should be zecha when they learn, to learn the right pshat in the Torah. Not to derive proofs from the Torah that you don't need a rabbi, you don't baloney. To be zecha to find the mishpatayemis in the Torah, to be able to find the proper guidance and advice in the Torah. Baruch Hashem.